Hi and welcome to Berlin Briefing. So today we're unpacking why a German drone deal has suddenly turned into a political firestorm. So the Bundeswehr, the German military, wants to buy combat drones from two startups. One, Helsing, that's a company based in Munich, and the other one is Stark Defense. But, and here comes the catch, one of Stark's key backers is US billionaire Peter Thiel. That alone wouldn't be explosive, except Thiel is known for right libertarian views, his skepticism toward liberal democracy, and his closeness to Donald Trump. And all of that has German lawmakers alarmed. And add to that his role as co-founder of Palantir, whose police tech footprint in Germany has already sparked heated civil liberties debates. So today, with three sharp guests, we'll dig into the question at the heart of this. What happens when one of America's most controversial tech investors becomes a stakeholder in Germany's next generation of military hardware? Parliament is supposed to vote on those drone deals next week. Will they give their green light? And I'm very excited to hear the predictions from my guests. So I've got Christopher Schütze here with me, Berlin correspondent for the New York Times. You cover defense and how the new geopolitical realities shape German society. We've been on the odd trip with the German defense minister together. And that is, of course, also something that Emile Archambault watches very, very closely. You're a drone expert, essentially, with the German Council on Foreign Relations. Great to have you.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Yes.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And we've got somebody else who knows his drones. And we're talking about my colleague, Roman Goncharenko from DW's Eastern Europe service. And you have been speaking to a lot of experts. You and I were at the Munich Security Conference. By the way, we also did a special episode of Berlin Briefing last week. So check that out. We'll post the link again in the comments. But yeah, Roman, great to have you on board. And maybe first question to you, why does Germany need these two deals with those companies?
Well, Germany is trying to catch a train that is already moving. Germany is too late on this drone market worldwide. I mean, both the production in Germany and the weapons for the Bundeswehr, the German army, and the Russian war against Ukraine has shown that drones are extremely important. They are a game changer. And according to the recent information that we have, 60 to 80% of all casualties on both sides are caused by drones. So it is no longer artillery. And I remember debates in Germany a few years ago before the Russian invasion in 2022, when Germany was very reluctant to buy drones. Especially the Social Democrats were against drones that can be used as a weapon. So the debate was, can we buy them? Should we buy them? And the answer was rather no. Let's just buy reconnaissance drones. But times have changed, and now Germany is catching up. It has actually no time because Germany is now beefing up its building its brigade. It's a tank brigade, actually, in Lithuania on NATO's eastern flank. And Germany needs those drones. It's loitering munition, basically, so drones that can hang in the air for a long time, travel a long distance up to 100 kilometers, and then strike the target. And Germany needs drones, such loitering munition drones, to protect that brigade.
Okay, that's a great summary for why these two deals are now on the table. And Emil, if I can ask you, what exactly are we talking about?
Also, yes, these drones, as Roman said, it is something that has been really ramping up since the beginning of the war, the 2022 war in Ukraine. It is important to note that there are several types of drones. And what we're talking about here, as Roman said, is loitering munition. So it is not a drone like the ones that were debated in the 2010s that carries missiles or that carries bombs. And it is not also the small handheld or small drones that are perhaps a couple 30, 40, 50 centimeters across, the sort of FPV drones, first-person video drones, that are used really in close combat in Ukraine. What we're talking about here is roughly the size of, well, these ones are on the size of perhaps very small airplanes, but that are a few meters across, that can fly for about 100 kilometers. They're either launched vertically or from a catapult, and they're essentially one-way munitions. So it is something of a hybrid between between a drone, a cruise missile, and perhaps a large piece of artillery, and they're meant to hit targets that are not immediately at the front line, but behind the front lines. What that means is that you need big stocks of them. What we've seen, and this is something that all Western militaries have realized since the beginning of the war in Ukraine, is that it is not enough to have a small stockpiles of very high level or high quality munitions. For instance, Germany has been using the cruise missile Taurus, that is very expensive, very capable. It's an excellent munition. It's very heavy, but Germany has stocks currently of a few hundreds and a few hundreds more on order. That is not enough. In Ukraine, we see you need several hundreds of those a day, if not thousands a day, and therefore you need very large stocks of these munitions. And that is what is at issue here. The Bundeswehr needs to buy a lot of them to be able, and especially build up a production capability to build more of them to be ready if they ever need to use them.
And what is special about the two contracts that are on the table, where lawmakers are expected to vote next week in Bundestag, is that the Bundeswehr would, for the first time essentially, sign contracts with companies and say, look, we believe that you've got some great potential here, mm-hmm. and the technology is moving so fast that we just rely on you as a partner to come up with, you know, great new solutions whenever the technology evolves, right, Chris? Just describe how much the mindset has also changed, please, in terms of Bundeswehr procurement.
Well, I think, you know, this is essentially a big part of the Zeitenwende, of this change of era, this response and this realization that we can't order things the way we used to order things, which was like, you know, in 30 years we'll get some new helicopters. This is how things were 3 years ago, and they're trying to change it, especially because, as you say, the technology is changing so quickly. So if you were to order something now and you'd order it for 10 years from now or 5 years from now, that technology would be totally outdated. So there is sort of this need to change how you work with defense contractors, startups, whatever, to come up with the newest product. And I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, it was they opened the innovation center in Erding for drones and you know these sort of new technologies. And you just saw all these sort of young guys with white sneakers and, you know, hanging out with fleece jackets and sort of working with these army officers. And
basically looking like you.
Basically looking like a younger version and a funnier version than me. And they were working with the army. And that's something you would not have seen 10 years ago or 5 years ago even. So this is sort of another product of this Zeitenwende. Another part, of course, is that they have a lot of money to put into that because of this undoing of the debt brake. So there's a lot of money there. And of course, the startups love that, but the German army also, or the German defense also needs it.
Yeah, and talk is of an initial contract that would be worth some 536 million euros, but potentially we're talking about billions of euros. So yes, as Chris was saying, a lot of money in there.
Yes, it is, and as Christopher also said, it is a framework contract. So the idea is that there is an initial contract, and then if the Ministry of Defense, if the Bundeswehr is happy with the way these companies are producing, are cooperating with the troops, there are options to further equip it. So as Roman also said, the first target unit there is this new brigade that is being set up in Lithuania. But ultimately, this is something that will not be restricted to only one unit or a few specialist units. These types of munitions, these types of systems, is something that is going to be rolled out to the ground forces of the Bundeswehr at large. So we are looking for something that will be developed in the long term and that is there to stay. So it is, of course, for these companies that are the two now, Helsing and Stark, that are the sort of first ones to be requested to be offered this opportunity, it is a good opportunity for them to establish a long-term relationship with the Bundeswehr, with the ground forces, and to be able to really work on cooperating in developing these systems, seeing really what do the armed forces need and what they can offer and how the two together can collaborate to get better systems. That's the goal, at least. Yes.
And just, if I can just interject, I think another part about that is that for both of these companies, working with the German army is very lucrative also, because they can use that to advertise. Then they go to other armies and we're like the main supplier of the German army. So for them, these are very important deals as well.
Especially within NATO.
And Roman, if you could just talk about what else is going on before we get to the personality who's Peter Thiel and his role in one of those contracts. Could you just say, because Germany is also working together with Ukraine, because Ukrainians, obviously, as sad as it is, have the most experience when it comes to how important drones are for modern warfare.
Yes, I've been talking to Ukrainian experts and military in the past years and telling them how Germany is lagging behind in drones, and they were just laughing. Because Germany was just, until recently, investing heavily in traditional weapons like main battle tanks, things like that, artillery, fighter jets, buying them in the United States, which are important, but the war has changed. This is what they say in Ukraine. Actually, what Germany needs and other NATO countries as well is to change the direction of these investments, switch it to drones, because drones are, as I've said, a game changer in a modern war. We are seeing it in Ukraine. And in Germany, well, things are developing slow, as you know, in many areas. So we have now 4 years of a full-scale war in Europe, in Ukraine, a Russian war. And Germany is only now placing that $1 billion contract for more than 4 billion euros are on the table. And two interesting thoughts that I had last year. One was a conversation with the head of Rheinmetall, Armin Papager, CEO of Rheinmetall, German major manufacturer of weapons, artillery, first of all, and then tanks as well.
Who's being bypassed, by the way. Sorry, Roman, just to add that Rheinmetall is not getting, at the moment, they're not getting one of those drone contracts. Just adding.
Exactly. And I asked him, what do you think of cooperation with Ukrainian drone manufacturers, for example? Because Rheinmetall is also developing its own drones. They are not in this contract, but they hope to jump on this train maybe later. So they are developing their own products. And he said, well, we want to have our own things, our own drones. So if Ukrainian manufacturers come to us, they have some smaller products. We want something big. So it's part of an attitude, you know. They want to have more time, which they don't have, actually. And the second quote that struck me was from Rob Bauer, which used to be a head of a NATO military committee, a former Dutch admiral. And I was interviewing him just a few months ago about his book, How to Prepare for a War in Europe. And I said to him, you have actually to switch the investment. Less tanks, buy less tanks, buy more drones. And he said, no, we need both. So we have to stick to our plan. So I see there a certain reluctance to move swiftly and to change the plans, because the war is changing, the world is changing. Ukraine has the know-how how to produce drones. Ukraine is using drones every day, every night, have been using them for 4 years. Just an example, before the Russian invasion, just a few weeks before, in 2022, Ukraine started to use drones. Those were Turkish-made drones, Bayraktar. And they were very effective, and it was a complete surprise to the Russian forces, which were at that time they had Russia did not openly say that they were present in eastern Ukraine, but they were, and Ukraine was very effective in using those Turkish drones. So in the past 4 years, it was a gigantic leap forward in the drone deployment development. The Ukraine has now its own production, has the know-how, but as we see, Germany is still reluctant in cooperating. The startups we're talking about have their products in Ukraine. Some of them are scaling up, having now production, or at least research and development teams in Ukraine. Some of them have about 60 people in Ukraine. The Stark Defense, the second, I was talking about Helsing. Helsing has about 60 people in Ukraine, Stark Defense about 200. So they are scaling up also their presence there. As I've said, time is moving very fast. NATO is expecting a possible Russian provocation, as they call it, in the coming years, and the drones will have to be there as soon as possible.
And a lot of things are happening at the same time. You've just mentioned that. Germany is also working together with France on the fighter jet of the future and also on the battle tank. And that is a completely separate episode because that is not going as smoothly as everyone is hoping it would. But also Ukrainian soldiers are probably going to help when it comes to essentially training German soldiers in the future. So, you know, sometimes I wonder why that took 4 years to establish something like that. But then you do have to always remember that this is, like Christopher was saying, the symbol of a Zeitenwende, and you see how long it takes to change people's mindsets and the structures, etc. Now we want to get to Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel has invested in Stark Defense. Peter Thiel initially gave the company what's called an angel investment. That was the first round, and that helped bring Stark to a $500 million valuation. We're talking about the year 2024. Then he helped raise $62 million for the company. This was in late 2025. And as far as we know, he has just invested again after news broke that Stark was going to be one of those companies that the Bundeswehr was going to go for. We only know that it's a double-digit million sum, and this could potentially bring Stark to the status of what business people call a unicorn. So this is very tricky to identify just how big his share is in the company, but the Greens here in the Bundestag, who are part of the opposition, they have a lot of concerns. And we spoke to one of their defense experts, Sarah Nanni, and let's just listen to what she said.
I mean, German arms industry is, of course, like many arms industries in Europe, highly intermingled with American industry, and that's okay. But Peter Thiel is a different story. He has very radical views on society, how it should function. He says freedom and democracy are incompatible. And I don't know what the role of the German defense industry in Peter Thiel's political motives is going to be.
So maybe, Christopher, if you could just sum up who is Peter Thiel for everybody who doesn't know him.
I mean, it's probably pretty difficult not to know at this point who Peter Thiel is. He is a Silicon Valley investor, actually German. I think he left Germany when he was like 7 or 8. He speaks German, actually. And he made a lot of money with PayPal, with Facebook. And he is known now mostly for very, very right libertarian views. He's given a couple of quite controversial interviews. He doesn't hold them back. And he's a big investment and a big investor. And one of the things that he's co-founded, Palantir, is a software that identifies, identifies people from pictures. And some German states, some of the police forces in German states have now subscribed to the software, raising all kinds of alarm because Germans are very, very careful about privacy concerns. And the idea is that if Palantir has access to all these databases, then, that's possibly not the best thing for privacy. And now the question of his investment in drone capabilities that will become crucial for the German defense is raising a lot of questions, as you just played the clip by Sarah Nani among the Greens, but I think also the Social Democrats, the party of the defense minister Pistorius, is also not quite sure about this, mostly because of his political views. But I think secondarily, this fear, and I'm not sure that it's founded, but I will just say there is a fear that he could somehow later do something to this technology to somehow hold the German army hostage or, you know, somehow influence actual defense capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we heard Boris Pistorius this week say that he thinks it is right that this should be investigated.
Global business isn't just charts and suits.
It's a messy, unpredictable soap opera set on a global stage.
Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Cassandra.
If you think the economy is boring, you've been watching the wrong show.
In our weekly podcast, The Dip, we'll help you connect the dots.
That's DW's The Dip, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hang on. Now that you're mentioning that, let's just listen to Boris Pistorius, because it is interesting, because we met him at the Munich Security Conference and I put that question to him then. This was last Friday. I asked him, about the role of Peter Thiel. Let's just take a look.
The Bundeswehr, the German army also desperately needs drones, and you've just signed, or you are in the process of signing contracts with two companies. There is criticism from the German opposition when it comes to one of those two companies that are supposed to provide the drones, because there is one key investor, he is called Peter Thiel, who is very controversial, a US investor with a very nationalist political agenda. That is the accusation. What do you say to these accusations?
Well, I don't know whether my informations are correct or not, but as far as I'm informed, we are not talking about a key stakeholder. We are about somebody who has between 3% and 4.5%. So this is not a key role as a stakeholder, and therefore we should consider it seriously, but it's not an obstacle really to make contracts with that company.
Okay, so you say you have to look at the numbers and the share of investment. Okay.
A couple of days later, as you were saying, Emil, Boris Pistorius was asked again by a colleague of ours, and his answer was more nuanced. And this is where I interrupted you.
Yeah, sure. Well, as he said in that clip, he said he didn't know whether his information was correct, and we would hope that the minister of defense would make sure that he checks those information and that they have certainty about what role Peter Thiel actually plays in a company like Stark Defense. I don't think it's a concern in itself that he has invested in the company, but I think it is absolutely right and necessary that the Ministry of Defense, the Bundeswehr, and the Procurement Bureau investigate to make sure that there are clear guidelines in place about what role he has, what participation he has, what access to information he has, and what influence he might have on decision making.
Where would you draw the red line?
Well, I think that there are very clear norms for all these companies about, for instance, intellectual property, which I don't necessarily think is an issue in this case, to the extent that Stark is a European, it's a German company, and that there will be guidelines in place, I hope and I expect, to ensure that this remains German intellectual property and that decision makers are German. As you mentioned, Peter Thiel is an investor in the company. He does not have a formal management role. He's not the CEO or any kind of formal decision maker. Now, of course, it is right at least that link be clarified and that Stark provide some kind of clarity about what kind of access he has to information, to data from, for instance, training with the Bundeswehr.
Because what is the fear?
Well, the fear, as I understand it, and Christopher, you can correct me if I'm wrong there, I believe the fear is that he might be able to influence the direction of the company in a way that serves his interests or perhaps American interests rather than German interests. that is not necessarily the case just by investing money, as if his relationship is simply to invest money in a company that he believes has potential commercially, as an investment vehicle, and perhaps even something where he thinks it is important that European companies enter the defense sector, that is not necessarily in itself a problem. And I don't think we have any indication that he would have any kind of role more than that. However, that is, of course, something where the Ministry of Defense needs to be certain, even more certain, and check it, double check it, triple check it, to be absolutely certain that that is the case. There are also, of course, European rules on data location, on data sharing, and so on. And of course, that is something that must be respected. That is not a problem, however, that is unique to Stark. Stark is not the only company that has investors from outside the EU. And therefore, it is perhaps a bit different because we're talking about Peter Thiel, but it is not unique in that we have other American foreign companies that are investing in German defense as well.
But how do you manage to find the right balance between getting access to a lot of money that is needed mm-hmm. to keep up with the fast development cycles of modern technology and have guidelines and sort of red lines where Europeans can say, OK, enough is enough. We don't want too much interference or we're afraid, you know, because, of course, mm-hmm. there's always the risk of increasing bureaucracy. Right.
Yeah. And it is access to money is a big challenge in the current situation. Christopher has been talking about the Zeitenwende. Well, the Zeitenwende must be financed. All these new companies. And when we're talking about Stark, that is a company that was founded in 2024. It's a very young company. Helsing was founded in 2021. Quantum was founded in 2015. We're talking about very young companies that are perhaps just entering the scale-up stage. But it is companies that are very that have very high needs for capital, for money, and that to be able to develop products, to be able to test those products, to field those products. And that means that they are taking a lot of risk. That is not something that German funding bodies generally have been willing to engage with. There has been a great reluctance by, for instance, state investors to invest in anything that touches weapons development. There has been a great reluctance by banks, by funds with perhaps strong rules on social investment guidelines to invest in anything that touches defense. That is changing now, but that was perhaps not the case when these companies were founded. And therefore, where does the money come from is a problem. And it might be the case, and Stark will be able to speak more clearly to explain, if they want to, why they decided to go with these investors, but that they need to find the money somewhere, and Germany was not historically a place where there was a lot of capital, of venture capital, available for defense investment, particularly when it comes to weapons development.
Yeah, and now the
two short remarks, if I may.
Sure.
I'd like to play an advocate for the German Defense Ministry because I do believe that they would like to have other competitors, but they don't have them. So the idea, the central idea, was to have something quick and something that is German-made. Yeah. And there are only two companies that can do that. Rheinmetall is still developing, and I think that as we speak, this is what the situation looks like. They want to split the contract, have two competitors, but I think that others will come on a later stage. And then the share of the Stark Defense, for example, could drop and someone else could come in. So things are developing very fast. And one more remark is the whole story, how Germany is handling this, reminds me of the German car industry, which for years have been very reluctant to develop electric cars and was developing diesel engines because they were so good. The result was that the competitors from abroad were faster, like Tesla or the Chinese manufacturers. To me, it looks like a very similar situation now in drone development. Germany has to move fast. It has the money now. So we will see rapid changes in development and procurement in Germany in the coming years.
Okay, Emil.
Yeah, and I think that is entirely right that Germany needs to move fast. And as Roman said, this is a clear capability gap that has been identified, and therefore they need to invest in this area. I think there is also a clear desire now on the part of the government to not put all the eggs in one basket. There is a deliberate effort to de-risk procurement by looking at several products as at the same time. As you mentioned, those are products that are still in development. They are being fielded partially in Ukraine and so on, but these are still development products. And there is a hope and there is potential that these will be both for Stark, for Helsing, and ultimately if Rheinmetall or other companies enter the field, that these will be very good systems and they will be excellent systems for the Bundeswehr. But it is still an objective to not only rely on one manufacturer. That might be how before the Zeitenwende, how Germany or how Western militaries might have done it. They might have identified, we run a competition and we decide that company A has the best product, therefore we will buy company A. That is not how it's working now. The objective is to have multiple ones, which means that if one of them, for whatever reason, stops producing or has problems with supply, has problems with quality, has problems with goes bankrupt, anything that could happen, that it is not a critical loss for the capabilities of the armed forces, that they have multiple companies. And therefore, drawing on Stark there, if you have the requisite guarantees, it makes sense. It is a product that is, so as far as we can tell from the outside, because we don't have that much public information, but as far as we can tell, it is a product at least that the Ministry of Defense, that the Bundeswehr thinks has the potential to fulfill the need.
And now I would like all of you out there to think about the question, what would you do if you were a member of the Defense and the Budget Committees in the German Bundestag? Would you give the green light to the contract, not knowing everything, but being aware that you've got a responsibility, but you've also got a chance to essentially become the voice of reason and be the representative that can make sure that there is scrutiny when it comes to those procurement contracts. So think about it. Would you say yes or no to the drone deal? And then let us know what you think in the comments. And I thank you very much for watching. And we'll keep you informed, of course, how that vote then plays out next week in Bundestag. Check out our Berlin Briefing newsletter and make sure that you come back.